Matthew 13, I'll read verse 51, then you join me on verse 52. Jesus saith unto them, Have you understood all these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Now that's a very short passage. The parable is one verse long, basically. Verse 51 is an introduction to it. But there's a lot of, I think, great truths for us in that. So let's pray. Let's get right into it and see what the Lord has for us this morning. Father, I pray now just speak to our hearts. We've come here this morning with an expectation and desire to hear from heaven. I pray that would be the case in every life. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, this is the last parable of this chapter. And in many ways, this parable sums up all the other parables that's in this chapter. If you look in verse 53, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed then. So it's not all in one setting because he moves a little bit, it seems, in this chapter, but it's in a one time period, a one general setting time period that he gives us these multiple parables that we've looked at in the six sermons, but there's more than six parables here. He gives us these parables throughout Matthew 13. But when we get to this parable, this is the last one and really kind of sums up all the other parables. He kind of puts them all together. Now, we talked about a parable being basically something that we know and then something we don't know put side by side so that what we know helps us understand what we don't know. Now, the comparisons made, or the thing that we know here, the Bible says in verse 52, it says, unto a man that is a householder. So that is what we know. That's what they would know. So when he began preaching to these people, speaking to these people, when he talked about this, they would know what he's talking about. So let me explain, because it may not be, because of our time and culture and society, it may not be as clear to us. So what he's talking about is a man that had authority over some type of house. Kind of an overseer in a way, where it was owned by someone, maybe some land and a house and such. And the idea was, or even could have been his own, but he had the control over this house, this the house and the needs of it. So this is someone who has a care and oversight of a household. So as such, this householder would have prepared then for the needs of that. He would have been thinking about what they would need, kind of like what we do. I mean, you probably have recently, within the last few months, you've put away your summer things, maybe in your fall things, and you got out your winter things, and you'll keep those out for the next 9 months probably, and that's Ohio. And so we get out our winter things, and then eventually we put those things away, and we get out the spring or the summer or the fall things, whatever, however you do it. And so there's some preparation that way. So the needs of the household. And then even as we go through the year, things need replaced, things need updated. This is what this householder's doing. He's overseeing this house, the property and the house and all that, and making sure that the care of this is taken care of, and he's preparing for the needs of that household. Go back with me to verse 52, and it says, unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Now, sometimes when we think of treasure, we think of, you know, like a pirate's chest or something, opening up and all these things. That's not the word picture that the Lord has given us. It's more of a treasury, a storage place. And so the Bible says this householder is putting things in his treasure or his treasury in his storage area, and he's storing things for the need of the house. And he says there's some things that are new going in, some things old. In other words, some things have been there for a while, but there's also new things that he's putting in as well. So this man that is a householder, someone who has an oversight of a household, he's preparing for the needs of the household by storing away items that would be used when needed. And this treasury is where he's storing it at. And he says, now we'll go back again to our verse 52. He says, therefore every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about us as disciples, is likened to this person. So the known is the householder. They would have understood this householder, he's storing away things in his treasury. Now we as a disciple, this is the unknown, are going to be compared to this man. And he's going to make some comparison so we understand what we're supposed to be as disciples. So a born-again believer, now this is the transition to where we're getting to the message. a born-again believer who is going to live the Christian life and be a true disciple of Jesus has to be this, like this householder. Someone who is willing, and we'll see that in a moment, someone who is ready, and someone who is able to do what the Lord wants them to do. So as we look at this householder, begins now teaching us, helping us to know some things about our own spiritual life. So this morning, I want to share with you three things that we can see from this householder that help us to be what the Lord would have us to be. So what is the first thing? Well, number one is this, and we'll use some scripture as we go to connect some things, but number one is this: a disciple must be willing to work. This householder couldn't be lazy. This householder couldn't be someone who didn't think about what had to be done. He had to have a work ethic about him. The fact that this householder, now watch this, think about this. The fact that this householder could bring forth things out of his treasury means he put things, what? Into it. He'd done some work. He'd done some effort. So you can't take things out that you've not put into. And this is important to understand, especially with this idea about being willing to work. As we go through Matthew 13, what's interesting is the Lord is talking to his disciples. There's always a undercurrent of effort. Someone doesn't wake up some morning and say, wow, how did this happen? I'm a godly person. How did that happen? It doesn't happen that way. There's effort involved. There's something we have to do. We don't just become godly or become a disciple of Jesus Christ and walk with God without some effort on our part. And Jesus now uses these parables, begin to explain and to help them understand that if you're going to walk with God, if you're going to live for the Lord, there has to be some effort on your part. There's an implication of work that we as believers are doing as far as living for the Lord. In fact, let me show you what I mean. Go back with me to our chapter, Matthew 13. In all these parables, you'll see this implication of effort, implication of work. Look at verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to what? Sow. Anyone ever sow seeds? Anyone work a garden? You know what I find? And I've kidded about this, but here's what I find. The best place to get good, fresh vegetables? In the frozen market of Walmart. Go to the frozen where the frozen food is. It's so much easier. Because I've been out as a kid living in West Virginia. I know what it means to go out there and you got to plant the stuff and you got to pull the weeds and you got to do all the work involved. Now, I'm thankful for the good, fresh vegetables, but they don't just happen. There's a lot of work involved. So this is what he's talking about this. He says, now you're going forth to sow. There's effort being made. Look at verse 24. I got to hasten because we're just getting into it. Verse 24, another parable put he forth unto him, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed. Again, the idea of work involved. Look at verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto him, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Again, the implication of work. Look at verse number 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hidden in the field, the which when a man hath found, in other words, he's doing something here, he hideth in the joy, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is verse 45, is like unto the merchant man seeking goodly pearls. Both verse 44 and verse 45, there's effort going on, there's work being involved. Look at verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast in the sea and gathered of every kind. The idea of throwing that net in there and dragging it back to the shore was work. It was hard work to do those things. So all these parables have an implication of work, an implication of effort. We as believers are doing something. We're not just sitting around waiting on God and just kind of expecting it to hit us like a lightning bolt. There's effort. There's something that we're doing, trying to grow, trying to be what we are supposed to be as believers. So let me give you this statement. You ready? Here's the statement. That's not my statement. This is my statement. Ready? The great hindrance to Christian growth and service is not a lack of opportunity. People say, well, you know, I'd serve God if I had the opportunity. That is not why you're not serving God. You know, I'd live for Jesus if the opportunity arose. That's not what's keeping you from living for Jesus. The great hindrance to Christian growth and service is not the lack of opportunity, but an unwillingness to work. we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing as believers. Let me show you a verse here. 2 Corinthians. Here's what the Bible says. Paul speaking to the Corinthian church, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be 40 years ago. In other words, this is, okay, you've made some effort here. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it. In other words, you've made this idea, you've come up with this plan, now let's put some effort to it. That is, there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to man it hath, and not according to he hath not. In other words, it's not, you don't have this, you don't have, but are you willing to do what is necessary? So I tell you again, the great hindrance to the Christian life, and not the lack of opportunity, that the effort that we put into it. Most believers who fail in their Christian life, talking about growing, I'm not talking about losing your salvation because you can't do that. We're secure in Christ, not in ourselves. I'm not talking about getting saved either. We'll talk about that in a moment. I'm talking about doing the effort to get saved. I'm not talking about you're working to get saved. I'm talking about you're already a born-again believer, and you're trying to do something for the Lord. The reason that we fail in this often is not because of the circumstances of our life, but because of our character or lack thereof. We don't put the effort into what is needed. Now, let me give you a statement. You might want to kind of buckle your seatbelt a little bit. This may be a little bit of a bothersome statement. Ready? Lazy people make lousy Christians. If you're going to be lazy, you're not going to do much for the Lord. Because the Lord expects to work. The Lord expects the sowing and the working and the effort on our part. The Lord expects something out of us. There is a work involved in biblical Christianity. Now watch, not to get saved. We're not talking about working to get saved. We're talking about working because we are already saved. We know Christ. We're not talking about working to earn His grace. We're talking about working because we're responding to the grace that we've received already. Ephesians 2 says this, "For by grace are you saved." Grace means it's unmerited, undeserved. If you're saved, you're not saved because of your effort. You're saved because of the effort of Jesus Christ, what He did for us. This is what saves us, the effort of Jesus Christ, not our effort. So we're saved by grace, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That is true. We're not working our way to heaven, but notice the next verse. Now that we have received the grace, now that we've been born again, notice the next thing He tells us. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. Now that we're saved, there's supposed to be some work, some effort we're putting in, which God has before ordained that we, talking about believers, should walk in them. There should be effort on our part. The Lord wants us to have this willingness to put some work into our Christian life. Can I tell you this morning, if you're going to grow as a believer and be a disciple, you're going to have to put effort into it. You know, it takes work to study the Bible. I've had people say, "Wow, Pastor White, how can I learn the Bible?" I'm going to tell you right now. Here is the step one of learning the Bible. Ready? Read it. Well, you know, I've tried that a few days. We'll try it for a few decades. It takes a long time of reading and studying and seeking the Lord. So, boy, that's hard work. It is hard work, but that's what it takes. So it takes work to study the Bible. It takes work to walk by faith. It takes work to serve in a ministry. It takes work to share the gospel. It takes work to seek God's face. It takes work to live holy. But we as disciples are supposed to be like this householder, putting the effort in so that there's something we can take out of it. We need to be willing to work. Without doing the hard work, you will never be the disciple that God wants you to be. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes character. As a believer, this is what it takes. There's a difference. Now, again, I'm talking about believers. There's a difference between the idea of climbing a mountain. Now, as a believer who's working, trying to live for the Lord, it's kind of like there should be an upward trend to our Christian life, that we're climbing, we're growing, we're trying to be more. If I look back 5 years ago, and if I was a better Christian 5 years ago than I am today, that would be a problem. What do you call someone who used to be a good Christian and isn't a good Christian now? Backsliding. I want to be growing. Now, again, I grew up in West Virginia. Some people say, well, you had the mountains. Well, not really. It's not like the Rocky Mountains, but according to Ohio, it is mountainous in West Virginia. And we would sometimes say, we want to walk way up top of that hill. I mean, it's way up there. But you didn't just walk straight like this. You kind of went up to it, and it kind of plateaued, maybe went down a little gully, a little valley, and then you go up. So it's kind of like you start here, and you go up, 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 and then you kind of go down a little bit, and then you go up, 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 and then you go down a little bit, and you go up, but it's an upward trend. Can I tell you, that's much like the Christian life. There's some days you don't do as well. Some moments and times when you don't, maybe you struggle. But it is trying to always climb higher. That's what the Lord expects. But for some people, the Christian life is like a roller coaster. Up, way down. Up, way down. Up, way down. And they go in a big circle and come back, and they've never gotten anywhere. That's not what the Christian life is supposed to be. We're supposed to be trying to climb higher and do more for the Lord. It's not just all about now, there's nothing wrong with having fun. I mean, we had fun at our Christmas dinner yesterday. I'm not anti-fun. I'm not anti-roller coaster. I like roller coasters. I'm not anti-fun. I'm not anti-roller coaster. But I'm saying in the Christian life, if we're going to do something for the Lord, there's going to take some hard work involved. It is a struggle. It is hard work. There is some sweat effort that has to be put into it. So if we're going to be this disciple that the Lord wants us to be, like this householder, a disciple must be willing to work. Then there's a second thing we notice about this being a householder, and that is this. Number two, a disciple must be continually ready. The householder had in his treasury, this treasury he talks about, that which was old and that which was new. In other words, he had some things from the time past, other things he'd put in there long ago, but now there's new things he's putting as well in time present. This means there was an ongoing, continual process of putting things in there. He had some things have been there in a while, but then there's some new things going in because he's always preparing, always working at it. It's a continual process. Let me give you another. This is, I guess, a morning for West Virginia illustrations. I'll give you another West Virginia illustration. When we lived on the farm, now we lived in multiple places. I don't think we ever lived in one place more than 2 years. We lived in some places more than one time, but never more than 2 years in a row. It's kind of a strange situation. So when we moved to the farm, which we lived we owned the farm for a while and lived there several different times. But when the first time we moved there, it was in disarray. We had to do a lot of repairing. It had a big hole in the floor. I'm not sure what. I mean, they just got tired of going down the stairs and just jumped down to the basement. I don't know what they did. It had a big hole in the floor that had to get fixed and a lot of work. But in the basement, had an old coal furnace. And then off to the side, it had another room that kind of went. It was basically a place where they stored stuff, and it was like damp and that smell. I think it might have even had a dirt floor in part of it. And it was one of those rooms when you walked in, you kind of walked in like this. Oh man, what am I going to find in here? And it had one little light, and the light's way over there, and you're like, oh no, no, oh no. And you're, boom, oh, whew. Okay, it was a room like that. And in this room, against one wall, it had these shelves, kind of homemade shelves, and it had all these canned, now not canned like Walmart canned like in Grandma canned them. Glass bottles, canned stuff. So we walk in there, and okay, I'm a young teenager at the time, and I'm kind of afraid to look what's in it. It's like, am I going to see an eyeball? Oh, what is this? Oh, what is this in there? And they're all dusty and rusty. And my stepfather said, well, we'll keep these and we'll eat them sometime. My mom said, you'll keep them and you'll eat them. I ain't touching anything that's in any of those bottles. Now, in that cellar, with all these canned items, dusty and rusty. I'm sure when it was first put in there, it was clean. It was probably ready to eat. Who knows how long it had been sitting there. I have no idea. It's pretty yucky looking. But the problem is, as believers, sometimes we're like that cellar. There was a day we had a lot of stuff we put in there. we just got saved, maybe been saved for a short time. We were excited about the Lord. We were growing. We were learning. But now we've kind of got dusty and rusty. We haven't done much lately. We haven't read our Bible much lately. We haven't prayed much lately. We haven't told anyone about the Lord much lately. We're just kind of dusty and rusty like those canned items was in that cellar. As believers, we are not to be dusty and rusty. Rather, we are to be bringing new items into our treasury. We're supposed to be growing continually. Now, new to you, not new to the Lord, obviously, but new to us. Let me tell you, in your Christian life, however long you've been saved, now some of us have been saved several decades, some just a few years, but however long you've been saved, you should be able to open the Bible and be like, wow, well, that's pretty good stuff. That should be an ongoing thing. Someone should be able to come to you and say, hey, what was that last prayer you had answered? And you say, let me tell you, the other day, I'll tell you a prayer, and this is kind of the silliness of it. But it was an amazing thing to me. I went to Lowe's. This is before we had the 14.4 inches and the Leary of snow. I went to Lowe's, and we're going to get some things. We're going to put some Christmas lights up outside. So I went to Lowe's to get something, and I went, and I looked online, and they said it's online. Well, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true, right? So if it says it's online, it's got to be there. So I went there and looked for it, and then I couldn't find it. So I went right where all the Christmas stuff is, and I started right here. And I said, it's going to be right here. And I said, I don't see it. Where is it? I'm not the most patient person when I'm shot, okay? Here's what I think. I should be able to walk, park my car, hold up my hand, they throw up my hand, and I drive off, but it doesn't always work that way. So I'm in there, I'm like, where is this thing? So I'm walking, I'm looking. And the more I'm doing it, the more I'm like, I'm just getting frustrated. Where is this thing at? And I said, Lord, I am so frustrated at the moment, which is really silly in the big scheme of things, right? I'm still, it's Christmas lights I couldn't find, a certain type of Christmas light. And I said, Lord, now I came all the way full circle, and I said, Lord, it's supposed to be here. It's not here. I've looked through the whole thing. Could you please help me to find this thing? Because I am really frustrated right now. Oh, there it is. Thank you, Lord. Now, whether or not that was a direct answer to prayer, or maybe the Lord just was teaching me a lesson about patience, regardless, there should be regular answers to prayer in the Christian life. This should be a continual thing. If our Christian life is like that cellar, dank, dusty, rusty, a long time ago it was all new, but now it's all old stuff, that is not what it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be, yes, things we've done in the past, but it shouldn't be always what we used to be, what we used to do, what we used to believe, how we used to live. There should be something new going on in our Christian life. Probably the best way to be continually ready as a believer is this idea about being faithful in our Christian walk. Christian growth often does not occur by leaps and bounds. That's typically not how the Christian life. It may seem that way because we're not really thoughtful about our Christian life, and then when we start thinking about it, it's like, whoa, I've made some big steps in my life. But most of the time, the Christian life is just incremental steps. We just keep at it, and keep at it, and keep at it, and keep at it, and keep at it. And over a period of time now, we have grown in our Christian life. It's this faithfulness, this being continually at what we're supposed to be doing. Being where we're supposed to be, doing what we're supposed to do, puts us in a place where the Lord can grow and develop us. So I ask you a couple questions this morning. This idea of being a householder, trying to be a disciple, we're going to put the work in. Now there's a continual work that goes. It's not just a work we did 10 years ago, but what are we doing now? So I'd ask you this question. What have you been adding to your, put it this way, faith treasury? Are you growing in your knowledge of the Bible? We're getting close to the end of 2020. Think back a year ago. Where were you at? Are you growing in your knowledge of the Bible? Are you becoming more open about your faith in Christ? Talking to people, letting people know where you stand with Christ. Hopefully witnessing and sharing the gospel with them. Now here's a good one for 2020. Are you trusting God in both the big and little things of life? Now, I know that my illustration about Lowe's is kind of a silly illustration, But the truth is, in every little thing of life, we should be looking to the Lord. In everything. Probably, you know, if I were to tell you what my error was, number one, I was impatient. That's obvious. Number two, you tell me what my error was? Why didn't I pray before I looked? That would have been a better thing, wouldn't it? Lord, help me to find exactly what I need and then go look. See, this is the idea of growing our Christian life. We're just continually, we're making these steps forward. We're not in a competition with each other. We're not looking at each other. I'm ahead of you. Oh, I'm behind them. But I'm behind that person. Instead of that, we say, Lord, help me to continue to go forward in my Christian life. I may not be ahead of others. I may be behind some, whatever it may be, but help me to grow. Help me to make these steps of faith in my life. I mean, continually ready, continually investing, continually putting things in that treasury. So if I would put it all into one statement, I'd say this to you. Here's the question. Do you, as a believer now, as a born-again believer, do you have some fresh, canned items of faith that you've recently added to your treasury? Can you look back and say, you know, a couple weeks ago, the Lord really taught me this great truth. Man, it's really been a blessing to me. Oh, you know, I can think just recently, Lord, I had this burden in my heart, and here's what the Lord has done. Or, boy, the Lord has grown me in this area of faith in my life. That is what it should be in the disciples' life. We're continuing to add both old and new to that treasury. So a disciple must be willing to work. A disciple must be continually ready. And then there's a third thought about this householder. And then number three is this, a disciple must be able to apply what he knows. What good would it be to have this treasury, this storehouse, and never take anything out of it? See, the householder had things in his treasury, new and old, because he needed things, and when it was there, when he needed it, then he would go get it and pull it out. But what good is it if he just kept storing things and never took anything out and had this need and said, well, I don't know. But he had a whole treasury full of what he could have used. So a disciple must be able to apply what he knows. If we apply it to a disciple, here's what we'd say. What good is it to have a storehouse of Bible knowledge if we never use any of it? Pastor White, over the last few years, I've learned a lot of Bible. Great. How much ever you're living. See, putting knowledge up here is good. That's where it starts. But start putting knowledge in practice in your life is the goal. The goal isn't, the Christian life is not like high school, where the day before the test, you decide to start looking at your notes and cramming. So you at least have some answers right. Oh, that was the answer. Yeah, okay, I got that one. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is, again, we're putting the work in. It's a continual work. And when the need arises, we start applying things that we've learned from the Lord. What good is it to have this storehouse if we never use the things that's in the storehouse? Let me put it this way. Bible knowledge is to be that type of storehouse that we use as needed. Now watch, not a museum just to show off to impress people. We're not just putting things in this storehouse and we say, look what I got, and look what I got. No, I'm storing things so I have something to use in my Christian life. So if we were to apply it to our lives, what this point is, this number three, I would say this, because I, no matter where you fall in all the things that's happening, to whatever, however you fall, however you think, however you respond to it, we'd all agree, I think, that 2020 has been a unique year. Different. If you said, no, everything's about the same, well, I'm glad that's for you, but for most people, it's been a different year. And sometimes, some of it is how we've responded. Somehow the response has come to us and it has affected us. Not our response, but others' responses affecting us. But I would also say this, that 2020 has been not just a unique year, it has been a revelation to many people. And what it has revealed, not just what's going on in the world around us, but it's revealed what's been going on in us. You know, when you find out what's in the storehouse is when the need arises and you're like, oh, I think I have that. Yeah, that's you ever been there? I think I have that. And you open up the, and you realize, I don't got it. I thought I had it, but don't got it. Sometimes that's in the Christian life. We think we're ready. Okay, what come what may, I'm ready to, I'll withstand whatever it takes, I'll live for Jesus. And then the need arises and we open this treasure and realize we've really not learned to walk by faith. We really don't have what we thought we had in our Christian life and we're unprepared. So if I'm going to apply what I know, I want to put the stuff in there, and then when it's in there, I want to pull it out and use it when the need arises. I need to apply it. So 2020 has been a revelation to many people. I think it's revealed what has been in the storehouse or not in the storehouse. And also been a revelation of how willing we've been how willing we have been to use what's in that storehouse. So this revelation, I think, has been really, it's revealed to us what it means to walk by fear or to walk by faith. So truthfully, I'm speaking of Christians in a broad sense here. I think I'm being fair and honest when I say this, that our response to what is going on in the world as a whole has not been a walk of faith. I think as a whole, Christians have been generally as fearful as the lost world. When the Lord has put us in a situation where we can shine for Him to walk by faith, we have not done a great job at that. We have not applied what we should have had in that storehouse. Maybe it wasn't there. Maybe that's the problem. Or maybe it's there and we're not getting it out and using it. When we talk about this idea about walking by faith, it doesn't mean we ignore or deny the things that create fear. Obviously, the virus, riots, the election and all that's going on with that. There are things in this world that create fear in us. Okay? Boldness is not someone who doesn't have fear. If someone says, I have no fear, you probably want to stay away from that person. He's going to get you killed. Okay? Because there are things that create fear. The idea of boldness or faith is not the absence of fear. It is saying, but I'm not going to live by the fear. I'm going to live by the faith. And so when we think about this applying what we know, this idea of walking by faith, living for the Lord, it doesn't mean that we ignore, deny things that create fear, but we choose faith over fear. You know why we choose faith over fear? Because it pleases Him. Not because it makes your life easier. Watch this. Not because it works, because it pleases Him. I think this is a mistake we make. Because I think in our minds we think this, if I walk by faith, everything turns out. Tell that to the early Christians who got burned at the stake. You know, Nero needed some street lights. Electricity was kind of expensive back then, especially since it hadn't been invented. And so he needed some street lights. So he'd take the Christians, dunk them in tar, put them up on a post, tie them up there, light them on fire, and then drive his chariots around so he could see where he's going. They walked by faith, and it cost them their life. See, we have this idea of walking by faith means everything turns out. No, walking by faith honors and pleases Him. That's why we do it. You know why? Because hopefully in our Christian life, we're putting in the storehouse the things that the Lord is teaching us about faith. And then when the need arises, we pull those things out and say, Lord, I'm going to walk by faith. So, well, preacher, you sure about that? Well, I'm sure that that's what the Bible teaches, because Hebrews 10 says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Well, why do we walk by faith? Well, it says in chapter 11, verse 6, still in Hebrews, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. Him in the context is talking about the Lord. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So as we think about our own discipleship, our own walk of faith, our own living for the Lord, I would encourage you this morning, it's going to take effort. I'd encourage you this morning that it's a continual thing. You're continually putting things in that treasury. You're continually being prepared. You're continually trying to grow in your Christian life. It's a continual process. And then I would encourage you this morning that there's going to come a day when you're going to have to go to that treasury and pull some things out and apply the things that you know. You just can't keep shoving faith things in the storehouse. Some days you got to walk to the storehouse and pull the faith things out and say, this is what we're going to do because it's the right thing to do. Now, if you did well, if you think you did well, or if you did well this year, 2020, here's what I tell you. Give God the glory. Because it wasn't you. Yeah, Pastor White, I was one of those Christians this year. I did great. Really? Or did the Lord just do some great things through you? You know, to Him goes all glory and honor. Without Him, we're nothing. The Bible tells us this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, with wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You get cocksure in your own self, and you see how quickly you'll fall on your face. So I'd say if you did well this year, give God the glory. Say, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you helped me put some things in my storehouse. Thank you that you pointed to the, hey, believer, you're going to need that right now. And you went in there, thank you, Jesus, you taught me this. And then you pulled it out and said, Lord, help me now to live this. And he helped you to live this. All glory and honor goes to him. So if you did well, give God glory. You say, well, Pastor White, it's not me. I didn't really do well. I really struggled at times. I mean, I was just at wit's end. I was just like, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Boy, I'm ready just to put the cover of my head and stay in bed for all of 2020. And this is what you're saying way back in, you know, early part of the year. And you struggled. What would I tell you? Seek God's help. Don't sit there and just say, well, I blew it. I guess I have. There's no hope for me. Don't be discouraged that way. Can I tell you in the as a child? I'm talking about you're already saved as a child of God. God has not given up on you. Why are you giving up on Him? Seek His help. Come to Him and say, Lord. Okay, let's go back to the Lowe's illustration. Really, when I found that thing, I didn't say, "Oh, thank you for answering prayer." Really, I said, "Lord, why did I make such a fuss over something so stupid?" But thank you for showing it to me anyways. We always look to Him. If something happens positive, we give Him the glory. If we struggle, we seek His face and seek His help in these things. We want to grow and be better the next time and have the victory the next time. Romans says this, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. He's going to get the glory. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given to us. In other words, the Lord is working, trying to develop, trying to grow us. So, Lord, help me in this. Here's what I would tell you. And I say this somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but also to encourage you or to make you thoughtful. However you responded in 2020, if you did well, give God glory. If you struggle, seek God's help. Here's what I would tell you. Barring the rapture, 2021 is coming. Well, it's got to be better. Who says? Maybe 2020 was preparation for 2021. Don't know. I know this is, I hope that I'm putting things in my storehouse so whatever happens next year, I got some things ready. And I'm going to pull it out and say, Lord, I'm going to use this to serve you this year. Now, the truth of the matter, as we get to the end of the message, churches are not built on the glamorous or the rich. They may make churches glamorous, they may make church wealthy, but that's not how churches are built. A local New Testament church is built on hardworking, faithful people who live what they know. It's really what builds a church. No, it's not people who have great talent or great ability. It's just faithful, hardworking people who just show up, do their job, and keep at it. That's what builds anything, but it definitely is what builds a church. And I believe this morning that the world needs to see believers who are willing to do the hard work of living for God. And it is hard. If you're going to live for God, it is. And you may have not noticed, but the world seems to be getting more and more antagonistic about the things of God. It may have not come on your radar, but the world is really not in love with Jesus. They seem to be going the other way. So if you're going to live for Jesus, it's going to get harder and harder. Paul said to Timothy about sinners and about the world, it wax worse and worse. The next verse he says, but continue thou in the things that you've learned. And so there's a hard work of living for Jesus. And the world needs to see us as his, those who claim to know Christ, that we're doing the hard work. And they need to see us doing it faithfully, even if everyone else isn't. But we are, because we love him and we want to serve him. So as a believer this morning, here's the question I would ask you. Are you a storehouse of faith, ready to use what you know in your service to God? Or are you a museum full of artifacts of what you used to do or used to be for God? You the storehouse, you the museum. Now, if you don't know Christ as Savior, the answer is that doesn't matter. Here's what matters, that Jesus died for you. He gave his life for you. That's where it starts. It starts at the cross. Now, once we come to know him as Savior, then we can start living for him, but you can't live for him until you know him. If you don't know him, this morning's the time to get that settled, to put your faith in Christ alone. Would you bow your head and would you pray with me? Father,